you and see what they're all about.
Woody's Tire Auto and Towing in Kirksville is a complete towing and rescue service in the surrounding area. They specialize in all preventive services, which include oil and fluid changes, jump start, brake work, shocks and struts, radiator service, tire sales and service, lockout service, and propane fill station. Woody's has over 30 years experience. At Woody's, there is always clean restrooms available for the customers. So remember, don't cuss, call us at Woody's Tire Auto and Towing. Our number is 660-665-8617 or after hours 660-216-3123.
With Eric, I think he's ready to go, you know, at any time.
Eric Jones made his unofficial debut at Bristol on Sunday. Could we see Jones in a Cup car again as soon as this season? I'm Susie Armstrong, and this is Ned Jarrett's World of Racing.
I had new Belvita breakfast bites this morning. Then what did I do? I got dressed, fed my cat, cut my bangs, wore a hat, got most of my kids to school on time. Took a car to the train, ran to work, missed the rain, saw a sheepdog chase its tail online. Have you seen that video? It's really funny.
Try new Belvita breakfast bites when you're on the go. Made with delicious ingredients and carefully baked to release 4 hours of steady energy. Share your morning win. Belvita.
Morning win.
MRN.com is your home for online streaming of NASCAR races and original MRN Motorsports programming. Listen at home or on the road to NASCAR Sprint Cup Series practices and qualifying. And Sprint Cup, Xfinity, and Camping World Truck Series races. Plus exclusive original online-only programs such as MRN Motorsports Monday, Winged Nation, The Straight Line, NASCAR Coast to Coast, Fast Food, and Throwback Thursday. Streaming across the country and around the world on MRN.com.
There's no doubt that Eric Jones is a star on the rise. At the age of 18, Jones has already won races in both the NASCAR Xfinity and Camping World Truck Series. Joe Gibbs, owner of Joe Gibbs Racing, has been very open about Eric's development and recently said that Jones will be in a Cup car quickly. Would Eric be open to fill in for Kyle Busch as he recovers from injury?
You know, if I do, great. I'd love the opportunity to get a full weekend of practice and really dial the car in for myself and, you know, be comfortable overall. I'd love to try it. I think we could really run top 15, top 10. Obviously, a place like Bristol makes it tougher anyway. So, you know, if I do, great. But I have a ton of races already in the Xfinity and trucks. So we'll just have to see where it goes.
I'm Susie Armstrong, and this is the World of Racing on the Motor Racing Network.
Time to get your science on at STEMFest on Saturday, April 25th at SEC in West Burlington. Bring the family and check out dozens of exhibits and hands-on activities involving science, technology, engineering, and math, like 3D printing, robotics, computer animation, human body simulators, food science, crime scene investigation, wind energy, and a whole lot more. Plus, get free stuff and win cool prizes. It's the Regional STEMFest, Saturday, April 25th from 10 to 2 at SEC in West Burlington. See you there.
This report has been brought to you by Southeastern Community College in West Burlington, Iowa. Reminding you, is college in your future? Check out SCC. Visit scciowa.edu and see what they're all about.
This is the award-winning broadcast of Healthy University, bringing health and vitality to you and your family, brought to you by Scotland County Hospital in Memphis. Now, here's your host, Dr. Randy Tobler.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the
good morning. Welcome to the program. How you doing? It's 10 after 10. Thanks for being here. Elise is out on assignment. I think she's doing some mock interviews up at the high school.
That's a good thing to do.
Oh, that's a great experience.
It is a great experience. I wish I would have done that. Out of college, I did a heck of a lot of interviews for jobs, and it took a long time to get that confidence. Yeah. So to have it now in high school is terrific.
There's Dr. Helene. We didn't have that at our school.
It was sort of out on your own. It was a little late. In college, you're doing all those interviews, and you're not getting the jobs, and you can't figure out, why am I not getting the job?
On the interview training.
I don't interview well. That's why.
Well, we're going to be talking with Dr. Christopher Winter later in the program, the owner of Charlottesville Neurology and Sleep Medicine. He's a sleep medicine doc and a neurologist, and we're going to talk with him about sleep and maybe some of the rigid rules that we hear about. I have to know. I mean, if I get eight hours and 5 minutes or 7 hours and 45 minutes, is there something drastic going to happen to me? So we'll ask him about that. He's written articles for Women's Health, Runner's World, Triathlete.
He is a triathlete, Randy.
Ah. Well, so are you. You've done some.
Yes, you and I have done some triathlon.
Many tries.
We've done it together. Come on.
Yeah. And that's a, boy, I tell you, just what was that, a quarter mile swim? And
right, quarter mile swim.
19 mile bike ride.
Right.
And then like a 2.5 mile run or something.
Three mile run. Right, yeah. Right. We did it together, remember?
I thought I was going to die.
No, you did great. Yeah, the first one, remember, we split it?
Yeah.
I did the swim, you did the bike, then I did the run. But then the next one, we did all three legs. Both of us did it.
That was good, yeah.
We did good.
You kicked my butt.
No, I did not. Did not. Come on.
I was happy to have a pulse at
the
end of the thing.
No, you did good. I was proud of you.
So we're going to talk to him about sleep and sleep disorders. And boy, it's a common problem. I mean, a large percentage of the population suffers from that. And, you know, it's normal to have a little insomnia now and then in your life if you're having a lot of stress or, you know, sometimes physical infirmity, you're recovering from surgery, you have pain, whatever. But there are those folks who never get a good night's sleep. And that not only has a impact on how you are able to relate to folks and get along and, you know, makes the next day tired and miserable, but can have some other ravaging health effects, too.
Right, and people that have to take medication to get to sleep constantly, that's probably not a good thing. Yeah.
And that's something we want to ask him about. Some of the newer medicines are touted as being less addictive prone and so forth. I still am cautious about using them for other than short periods of time, because very often it's a prescription other than that that you need. We'll talk to Dr. Winter as soon as we can. Wanted to invite you to join the program and bring us your questions, your phone calls. The local number is 660-465-7225. And the long-distance number, 1-800-748-7875. That's 748-7875, long-distance, and 465-7225, local. And we'll be talking with Dr. Winter a little bit later in the program. I know that you have an interesting story that you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, it was about they're comparing. First of all, Alzheimer's is going to be, it is a problem now. They estimate about 5.1 million people across the world have Alzheimer's, and now they're guessing in 2025 it's going to be like 7.1 million.
Wow!
So they're thinking, what are we doing wrong? Mm-hmm. What's the deal? So they had three different kind of diets. They have a thing called the MIND diet, the Mediterranean diet, and the DASH diet, and they compared all three.
And we know the Mediterranean diet, right?
Right.
Nuts, fruits, vegetables, fish. You know, largely olive oil.
Right.
But it allows some cheese and allows some red meat, right? And then, of course, the DASH diet is the extremely low-salt diet, developed in response to the hypertension problem in the 90s and has been shown to reduce heart attack risk and cardiovascular risk.
I'm sorry. I read a little bit of it. It's a little outdated. It allows you to have margarine, which is fake fat. Yeah. So
I think it's pretty much old news.
Yeah.
But then they asked folks starting at, what, age 58? I mean, they started fairly at an older
58
age.
58 to 90. The medium age is actually 81.
Yeah, and so they asked them what kind of diet they ate, you know, and what they were closer to. And when they ate closer to this MIND diet,
that they
better results.
They would preserve their brain for a couple years.
As far as lower incidence of Alzheimer's.
Preventing Alzheimer's, right. Yeah. And a big deal that they focused on was berries.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the Mediterranean diet says fruits and vegetables, they focused in on berries and green leafy vegetables a little bit more. And they're pretty heavy on the whole grains, too.
Right, right. So it allows some whole grains, but they are putting the nicks on cheese and butter.
Yeah,
and
butter. Once a week.
And red meats.
Right.
So, but it turns out that among the diets that, when people didn't eat pure MIND diet, this pure, you know, healthy MIND diet, which was, by the way, one of the important components was green leafies and berries, especially blueberries.
Right.
There was still a reduction in Alzheimer's risk, even if they weren't perfectly adherent to it. So, whereas on the other ones, if you deviated from the prescribed diet, no reduction in risk.
Reduction.
So that's interesting news and something that we should take to heart. Now, the next study should be prescribing diets, starting at people at 30, 20, whatever, 40, and following them for years and years, and do a prospective look at it and see what really happens in real world.
This is observational. Yeah. So the thing about berries, though, and green leafies, that you know, they're pointing those out more. The Mediterranean diet just says fruits and vegetables. berries have the highest, blueberries especially, the highest auric value, which is oxidative radical absorbency capacity.
I thought it was a vacuum cleaner.
No, no.
Oh, auric.
So it's funny. Okay, you know, auric. There's a correlation there. Why are they picking berries, blueberries? Well, it's got to have something to do with the fact they have that high radical quenching type of... basically, they make an impact on the DNA level, blueberries, and the green leafies. Green leafies, especially the cruciferous vegetables, the same thing, high oxidative radical absorbency capacity.
Right. And so oxidation, rusting, is not what we want to have happen in our brain.
Right.
Don't want my brain to rust. No. Hope you don't either. And they've begun to analyze the amount of amyloid that folks produce, abnormal amyloid, which is the protein that accumulates in plaques in the brain.
And there's some people that are prone, if they eat that diet, they're more likely to get Alzheimer's.
So and there's a nature-nurture thing, too. A lot of folks that carry one of the genes that predisposes to Alzheimer's don't get it.
No.
On the other hand, people that get Alzheimer's don't have that gene. So it's a mixture. Epigenetics.
I think there's a lot of nurture going on, you know? Not all about the hand of cards you're dealt when you're
born. Listening to Healthy You with Helene and Dr. Randy Tolber. We'll be back after these words talking about sleep. Stay there.
Hi, I'm Lori Moots-Claire with the Knox County Health Department Home Health Agency, your hometown team providing both public and home health services to the Knox County community. If you or someone you know needs care in the home subsequent to a medication change or a hospitalization, ask for the Knox County Health Department Home Health Agency. Our home health program is one of many programs offered by the Knox County Health Department Home Health Agency, all of which bring dollars in service directly back to Knox County residents. Call us at 660-397-3396 to see what we can do for you.
Ms. Smith told me that kindness is like a boomerang. It always returns.
This turned out to be great life advice.
Educators are some of the most influential people in our lives, whose words have a lasting impact.
Teachers' words matter.
Make your words matter by advocating for public schools, providing adequate funding, smaller class sizes, and salaries that attract and retain the best teachers are issues you can speak up about.
For more, visit MNEA.org. Brought to you by the Missouri National Education Association.
Are you grilling tonight? Make sure your propane tank is ready. And while you're at it, consider the advantages of a propane pre-buy for next winter. Propane is clean American energy, and homeowners, farmers, and businesses use propane in many beneficial ways. Learn more at MoPerc.org. Then talk with your propane dealer about all the different ways to use propane around your home, farm, or business. This message is a service of the Missouri Propane Education and Research Council, who invites you to warm up to propane.
In Missouri, littering is a Class A misdemeanor. If convicted, the maximum penalty is $1,000 and/or 1 year in jail. All law enforcement officers, including conservation agents, write hundreds of littering tickets each year. Report illegal dump sites and all littering violations to law enforcement. Also encourage others to pick up their trash when fishing and participating in other outdoor activities. This has been Missouri Conservation Agent Shannon Smith.
Who was your hero when you were a kid?
Neil Armstrong or Louis Armstrong?
Roberto Clemente or Walter Cronkite? Rosa Parks or Sally Ride?
You're the right age to do something you can be remembered for.
Register to become an organ and tissue donor.
Even if you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, or beyond, any age is the right age to donate the gift of life.
Learn how at organdonor.gov or call 1-866-99-DONATE. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Farm equipment will be on the road more often now that spring is here. Preliminary statistics indicate in 2014, 139 Missouri traffic crashes involved farm equipment. Crashes commonly occur when a motorist tries to pass a left-turning farm vehicle. A tractor may pull to the right side of the road before making a wide left turn. When you're driving behind a farm implement, please be patient and stay alert. A message from Sergeant Brent Bernhardt of the Missouri State Highway Patrol and KMEM.
We're back. Welcome back to the station, KMEM 100.5, and the show, Healthy You. If it's Tuesday morning, it is Healthy University. No copay, no quiz, at least today, no quiz. You never know when we might do a final.
Quizzes make you think.
They do.
Think on your feet. They're a good thing.
Well, speaking of thinking on your feet, How's that for a segue?
You're not on your feet.
To Dr. Christopher Winder, who has practiced sleep medicine and neurology in Charlottesville, Virginia since 2004, but is a sleep medicine and sleep research expert all the way since 1993. How you doing, Dr. Chris Winder? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for having me.
So sleep, one of the big problems, and I see it more and more in my practice. It seems as though, I don't know whether it's our stress, whether it's our connectedness, whether it is our diet, our lack of exercise. I don't know what it is, but boy, I know in my general OBGYN practice, insomnia is a huge problem. What kind of an impact does it have on Americans these days? I mean, as far as numbers?
Well, I think all of your theories are probably correct. I mean, I think that there's also just sort of more of an awareness that it's not your lot in life, that there are things that you can do to correct it. Some of them more positive than others. So I think there's just a generally more awareness of the issue. I think it impacts people tremendously. I mean, if you look at individuals who have difficulty sleeping, if you look at the effect that sleep apnea has on individuals in our economy, it's tremendous. Lost work hours and the illnesses that sleep apnea is connected to is probably sums in the billions in terms of what it's costing our economy. So it's not a small issue. When you start looking at the health-related consequences of poor sleep and sleep disturbances, every week it seems like we're making a new connection about sleep and heart disease, sleep and dementia, sleep and breast cancer, sleep and automobile accidents. So it's a big thing.
Dr. Winter, could you hone in on, we were just talking about Alzheimer's. How does sleep apnea have anything to do with Alzheimer's?
So it's interesting. I remember being in medical school and learning about the lymphatic system. So the lymphatic system is this fantastic system in our body that kind of gets rid of waste from our blood vessels. And I remember our instructor saying, well, the interesting thing is our brain and nervous system does not have a lymphatic system. And I remember thinking, that's the weirdest thing in the world, that something as important as your brain wouldn't have some way of getting rid of that same kind of waste. And it was recently that a researcher up in Maryland discovered that, in fact, it does. It's just been very difficult to see over the years. And they call it the glymphatic system. And the cool thing about the glymphatic system is that it's 10 times more active when we're sleeping than when we're awake. Oh. And when you actually look at the waste products that are being moved out of the nervous system to the glymphatic system, a lot of it has to do with proteins like tau protein. And tau protein is what constitutes the plaque that you see in Alzheimer's disease. So the idea is that if there is something like sleep apnea affecting your ability to get quality sleep, then you may be affecting the functionality of the glymphatic system's ability to remove the things that tend to accumulate and cause Alzheimer's disease. But there's also connections between sleep apnea and things like high blood pressure. And we know that high blood pressure is a vascular risk factor and a risk factor for dementia independently as well, too. So it's a very multifactorial process, but the bottom line is if anything's disturbing the quality of your sleep, it's probably going to lead to bad things down the line.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you'd say that, because more and more it seems as though how many years, decades have we heard the mantra from health and wellness experts about, you know, diet and exercise. And now I think sleep and along with it, stress management now seemed, we've gone from a two-legged stool to a four-legged stool, if you will, metaphorically. And I think the it's so underappreciated. I'm glad you bring that up about sleep, because it is just huge. It's a real, it's a game changer when people aren't sleeping well, because it becomes a vicious cycle, and then they don't feel like they want to exercise. They're exhausted, even if they don't have sleep apnea. If they just have one of those, I'm staring at the ceiling and my mind won't let me sleep kind of insomnias, it just has a devastating effect on those other legs of the stool, doesn't it?
It does, and I think it's important to point out that, you know, when we look at sleep disturbances, there is intrinsic sleep problems where an individual, you know, the funny thing is the patient with sleep apnea typically does not think that they have a sleep problem. They'll tell you, well, you know, I'm the best sleeper in the world. I could curl up on a concrete floor and fall right to sleep. And that is the problem, is that the individual is getting so little quality sleep during the 9 or 10 hours that he sleeps in bed at night, that his brain is still looking for sleep, and is taking it at very weird opportunities. Mm. You know, the individual with insomnia, when you start measuring sleepiness in patients with insomnia, you have to be careful, because a lot of times those patients are not sleepy at all. In fact, they'll tell you, I never sleep at night, but I never nap, I never fall asleep when I'm in church, I never fall asleep in boring meetings, struggle, it takes me hours to fall asleep at night. So one of the media things that can be very confusing to patients is the taking of the individual who, quote-unquote, cannot sleep, and kind of lumping them in with the patient who is excessively sleepy, because they're often two completely different people. So if you're listening to this and you're saying, look, I go to bed at 9 o'clock every night, and it takes me 2 hours to fall asleep, that's really different from somebody who has sleep apnea. I always tell my patients, there's really no such thing as insomnia if you define insomnia as being someone who cannot sleep. So everybody sleeps, everybody eats some food every now and then, and everybody gets something to drink every now and then. These are biologically fundamental drives. So if somebody's telling me, look, you're wrong, Chris, I don't sleep, I haven't slept in 17 days, then you might as well be telling me that the sun doesn't come up in the morning. So these are things that we can rely on. Now, is that person sleeping well? Is he satisfied with the quality of his sleep? That may or may not be the case. So one of the rules I have in my clinic is nobody's allowed to come in here and say, I don't sleep because okay. I think that sort of starts off the therapeutic relationship that you have with your practitioner with a lie, and we see how that lie worked out for people like Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
that's absolutely right. Then you're chasing maybe the wrong thing. Yeah, I get
exactly right. So when I come to my primary care doctor and say, look, I don't sleep, then that puts the primary care, that doctor isn't in the bedroom with you. He doesn't know, or she doesn't know. So that puts that practitioner in the position of, I guess I need to give something to this patient so that they get sleep, because I don't want my patient to leave my office and not get sleep. And so the number of times that's happening is very low. But the perception of sleep and reality of sleep can be very different things with individuals, and that's why it's nice to talk to partners. Hey, your wife is telling me that she never sleeps. What do you observe? And
okay.
He gets this uncomfortable look on his face because he knows now he's stuck between the woman he's committed to and married and this doctor, and he's forced to say, I don't know. She says she doesn't sleep at night, but every time I get up to go to the bathroom, she's snoring like crazy.
Okay.
So maybe there is a little bit of a... Or she sits down to watch CSI Miami at 8 o'clock at night, and she falls asleep until 11:30. She goes to bed, and then she, quote, can't fall asleep. Well, those 3 hours of sleep on the couch count.
Okay.
So you're exactly right. Chasing the wrong thing is a very good way to put it.
What this whole issue of, in some of the material we've been reading that you've written, and you have written in everything from Men's Health to Runner's World, and you're an internationally sought after speaker, this whole notion of the normal amount of sleep, quote, big air finger quotes here, normal, because it's different for teenagers, it's different for old folks, but yet you keep hearing this commonly thrown out, and usually it's media, mainstream media, 8 hours, get your 8 hours of sleep. What's the truth?
The truth is exactly what you're alluding to. It's. I will ask you, what is the normal baby size? When the baby pops out, or you might ask a nutritionist, how many calories should I be eating? And that's a nice, easy question, but it's a very difficult one to answer. Well, how big are the parents? What kind of person are you? Are you a young, sedentary person? Are you an older, elite athlete? So, yeah, maybe the average person needs 2,300 calories a day. Maybe the average baby weighs 6 pounds, 5 ounces. I have no idea. You're catching me in an ignorant moment there.
So
I think the media likes to distill things down to the simplest. Okay, here it is. 8 hours. That's easy. We can all get behind that. And the fact of the matter is, the sleep time that we need is as genetic as our eye color. And it changes with time. How much does a 20-year-old need? How much does that same individual need when they're 80 years old? It's going to vary over time. So the answer in terms of how much sleep do you need is basically, how much sleep does it take for you to get in bed, fall asleep within about 10 to 15 minutes, sleep soundly through the night, and wake up at a consistent time and feel refreshed? And if somebody says, well, I go to bed at midnight and get up at 6:30 every morning and I feel great, and if I try to go to bed earlier than midnight, like 11 o'clock, it takes me, 40, 45 minutes to fall asleep, then, hey, maybe 6.5 hours is perfect for that person.
For you.
Somebody says, you know, it takes me, I need more like 9 hours of sleep. That's fine, but I always tell people when somebody's telling me an average sleep time that's a little high, my first question is, are you compensating for poor sleep quality with more quantity? And if the answer is no, I'm not, because I had a sleep study done last week and it showed that those 9 hours of my sleep were perfect, then hey, then you're somebody who might need a little bit more sleep than somebody. So there's no real pat answer to that. So, but yet, newspapers and magazines, that's usually one of the first questions that they ask. I'm glad you brought it up in that way.
Well, Dr. Winter, how do you, these go together, how do you deal with shift workers? And I notice you've been a consultant with a lot of baseball teams, big time, the Major League Baseball teams and football teams, and their change in time zone. How do you deal with that difference in time zone with sleep and them having problems?
Right, so we can talk about things in very perfect theoretical terms. The bottom line, I think what you're getting to is, there does come a point where you have to say, well, this is the best we can do. So, for instance, a guy's got a job and he's working at a manufacturing plant, and he gets there at 8 o'clock in the morning, is done at 4, and he's taken on a second job 3 days out of the week to drive a bus, or he's cleaning office buildings after hours or something like that. And this individual is coming here and he's extremely tired. And I would tell you that the most tired people that I see in my clinical practice are shift workers or the people who have two jobs.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult situation for your body to be in, where it's constantly moving back and forth between enough sleep and not enough sleep. So the bottom line is, I'm going to tell that person, look, the reason why you're sleepy is you're clearly not getting enough sleep on many nights. And I like to think I'm a pretty decent sleep doctor, but there is definitely a limit as to what we can do. So I can say, hey, look, can you change your schedule around this way? Could you talk to your boss about maybe allowing you to do X, Y, and Z? Can we build in some naps here? Can we use some medications to help with your shift work? But the bottom line is, you do to get to some situations where it's kind of like saying, hey, look, I'm really hungry, but I don't really have any food to eat. Well, there are not many therapeutic things that I can work within those constraints besides, hey, you need to eat something if you don't like being hungry. And sleep's kind of the same way. I'm like, look, here's some medication to maybe keep you more awake, more safe when you drive, but the bottom line is you've got to find more time for sleep in your schedule, because what you're getting is simply not enough. And I think a lot of times baseball players and baseball teams can kind of find themselves in this situation, particularly baseball, because they literally play every day and they travel a lot. So the work we do with them is difficult and sometimes impossible, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That's Dr. Christopher Winter, and his website is Seville. He's in Charlottesville, Virginia, SevilleNeuroAndSleep.com. And I see that you gave a TED Talk in 2014.
Kudos to you.
You were talking to a master communicator here.
Wow,
he's a TED
I have
talker.
So much.
and also has a fabulous website here. It's Charlottesville Neurology and Sleep Medicine. When we come back, Dr. Winter writes for the HuffPo, the Huffington Post. What is it? Couple times a month, every couple of weeks, Chris?
Yeah, it varies. I'm working on one right now about the series I've been kind of interested in lately is sleeping in unusual places. And I just got the opportunity to spend the night sleeping in a salt tank.
Oh,
a sleep deprivation, a sensory deprivation tank. They don't like the term sensory deprivation anymore. There's a new term for it, but that's essentially what it was. And it was really neat. So that's what I'm working on.
Okay,
now.
So he spent time in a salt tank, and he's also was featured in a book on what doctors eat. So when we come back, we will probe into the diet of Dr. Christopher Winter and figure out how that may connect with sleep. I'm Randy Tolber, along with Helene. We'll be right back here on Healthy You. Stay there.
Someone who could cherish me as well.
Knox County Health Department Home Health Agency, serving Knox County residents for over 30 years. If you need home-based services such as skilled nursing, physical, occupational, or speech therapy, call us. If you need immunizations, your blood pressure checked, or your blood drawn, call us. Think you might qualify for nutrition programs for women, infants, and children such as WIC? Then also give us a call. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. Call 660-397-3396 and find out what the Knox County Health Department Home Health Agency can do for you.
This is Dakota Livesay with Chronicle of the Old West Weekly Edition. Coming up this week, we're going to be talking to Roger Toler about one of the Old West's most unique judges, Judge Isaac Parker. We'll also have Jim McGregor to talk to us about the Texans of the Old West. So do tune in to Chronicle of the Old West Weekly Edition.
Save money and energy with a free home evaluation from Black Hills Energy. Together, we can schedule an energy expert to walk through your home to identify where and how you can save the most energy. Black Hills provides rebates for common energy efficiency upgrades to save you even more. Lower your energy bills by scheduling a home evaluation today. Just visit bhesavemoney.com to learn more. Save money, save energy with Black Hills Energy.
It's back, and it's bigger than ever. It's Steel Dealer Days. The best time of the year to find great values on steel equipment. Steel trimmers start at just $129.95. Blowers start at just $149.95. And steel chainsaws start at just $179.95. Head to your local steel dealer now for the big event.
Steel Dealer Days.
Visit steeldealers.com to find a dealer near you. Available at participating dealers. All prices MSRP.
Join parents and experts at Understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues designed to help you help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything. Brought to you by Understood.org and the Ad Council.
The KMEM General Store can help pad your pocketbook. Join us weekdays from 9:06 to 10 a.m. From Ottumwa to Kirksville and Keokuk to Quincy, you'll hear all kinds of people buying, selling, and trading. Call the General Store Monday through Friday at 660-465-7225 or 1-800-748-7875. The General Store on KMEM, America's best country.
KMEM 100.5, talking to Dr. Winter about all things sleep. And Dr. Winter, I'm a holistic nutritionist, so I'm very interested to know what you eat to maximize your sleep.
I just try, as a 42-year-old man, I just try to eat healthy and sort of promote good habits with my children, my family. So I'm not sure. I don't eat a tremendous amount of red meat. I try to steer clear of a lot of protein at night because protein tends to be more wakefulness promoting. Okay. So just try to, you know, I do eat a green smoothie I make every morning, if you really want to know, of almond milk and greens, a little bit of almond butter, a banana, some chia seeds, some flax seed, and a little bit of protein powder, so that's pretty much what I'm staring at right now on my desk until lunch, which is usually a salad with a little bit of chicken and shrimp and a reasonable dinner. And then if I'm going to cut loose, I try to save that for the weekend. So those are my eating habits.
What kind of green do you put in your smoothie? A kale or bok choy?
It's usually a combination of romaine, kale, and lettuce.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
It's curious. We were talking about Alzheimer's and a study that's come out, a retrospective study comparing the MIND diet, which is allegedly supposed to help reduce the production of those bad proteins and so forth, along with the Mediterranean diet and the DASH. And at least in the retrospective recall basis, those folks, of course, they started at age 58,
yeah,
looked at them at 95.
Old, their mean one was 81
but,
years
the
old.
Oldest one was 95. But it appeared as though the MIND diet, which was heavy on blueberries, greens, little to no red meat, no butter, little cheese, you know, it was sort of a hardcore Mediterranean diet, I guess, mm-hmm. without the cheese and the red meat. 50% reduction among those people in Alzheimer's disease. So, I mean, diet does make a difference. Now, this is interesting. Here we are in an era of low carb, or at least lowering carb. I think people are getting the word out that the low-fat craze led to diabetes and obesity, and so we need to sort of temper that and reduce a lot of the carbs, especially the highly processed ones. You're saying that protein, though, on the other hand, if folks are really into that high-protein thing at night, that may be counterproductive from a sleep standpoint.
It could be. I mean, you know, one of the things I try to get my athletes to do is, you know, they'll say, look, we get back to the hotel at 3 o'clock in the morning and I ordered a massive, you know, order of spicy chicken wings. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, so, and the athlete is difficult because they're constantly trying to load on protein and make sure they're maintaining their mass, building muscle. They need protein for recovery. So, obviously, there's lots of factors to consider, but if the athlete's saying, look, I don't really care what I eat, I just want a little something to eat before I go to bed, then we try to steer them more towards things that might be more sleep-promoting, tart cherry juice, maybe some sweet potato chips, a bowl of cereal heavy on almonds, hazelnuts, pistachios perhaps, some teas. I mean, there's all kinds of things like that. Honey in your cereal, anything like that can be more sleep-promoting and help an individual, particularly if they're telling you there's somebody who they struggle a bit to kind of wind down and sleep at night. So those things can be a little bit helpful.
Well, Dr. Winter, in reference to that, let's go the other side, about sleeping pill use. How do you wean people off of that? Do you think there is a reason you should have sleeping pills? And, you know, what is your thought on that?
Sure. There are definitely perfectly legitimate reasons for sleeping pills. I mean, my advice to patients is typically you should always have a reason why you're taking your sleeping pill. The reason I'm taking my sleeping pill today is because my dog got hit by a car this afternoon and I'm really upset about that. Or my wife has just decided to leave me, or I've just got laid off from my work. Now, you know, I had a patient one time who came in and said, look, I'm really hooked on sleeping pills. I need to go off of them. Well, what's going on? Why are you taking sleeping pills? Well, is my divorce. We're going, so, well, tell me about your divorce. Well, it was 13 years ago.
Okay.
At that point, I think that's no longer a valid reason. You either need to get back with this woman if you care that much about her or move on with your life, because she certainly has. So, you know, to me, the sleeping pill, it should be, you know, it, like I said, there's a purpose for it. I'm upset about this. Okay, great. Then I think it's reasonable for the next week or two, maybe three, to use a sleeping pill if you need it. But then after that, we need to go back towards more, you know, healthy sleeping habits where you didn't have it. Jet lag's another great one, or shift work like we were talking about. You know, there are patients right now who need to go to bed within the next few hours to get ready for their 7P to 7A shift.
Right.
That can be very difficult to do. If you told me right now, hey, look, we're suddenly switching your clinic schedule and you're going to start seeing patients at night for the next 2 weeks, I'm not sleepy right now. It's going to be very difficult for me to go to bed. So if somebody would like to use a sleeping pill in order to kind of make that transition from the day to the night or vice versa, or you're landing in New Zealand and you need to be awake for your presentation or whatever you're doing in New Zealand, then great. I think that's reasonable. But that's not what most people, by far, are using sleeping pills for. Most people are using them because they have a belief that without them, they can't fall asleep. And if you're listening right now and you fall into that category, it's false. If you and I find a nice room with some comfortable chairs and set them up so we're looking at one another and we just stare at each other for a while, I'm not sure when it will happen, but within the next few hours, we will fall asleep and we'll get hungry and we'll eat something. We'll probably use the bathroom and we'll probably get something to drink. Like, those are pretty much foundational when it comes to human beings and their biological performance. So, you know, but a lot of people really start to lose faith in their insomnia. So the definition of insomnia starts to become not somebody who doesn't sleep, but it's really somebody who doesn't sleep when they think they should and they have anxiety or stress about it. That's really a more complete definition of what insomnia is. So a lot of people use sleeping pills, and our job is to either wean them off of them or get them off of them and get them back to finding that confidence that they can get into bed and they can fall asleep without a pill, because you can.
We have a listener that called and couldn't stay on the line. Mark Denny, one of the station on-air people here, has that question for you, Chris.
Sure. It has to do with sleep apnea and an enlarged prostate.
Oh.
Is there any connection between the two? Caller said he's up anywhere from 4 to 5 times a night and doesn't know if there's any correlation
about that. That's
or not.
A great
so that's
question.
What they wanted to know.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, good.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Good question.
No, that's a great question.
So the we see this a lot, that individuals who awaken a lot during the night and have to go to the bathroom automatically put those two things together. Well, I woke up 7 times last night to go to the bathroom, therefore something must be wrong with the system, you know, my plumbing, basically, my prostate, my kidneys, etc. So the rule of thumb that I often use is, how many times a night do you go to the bathroom? Let's say you sleep 6 hours at night, or we'll make it 7. So you go to bed at midnight, you give it 7 every day, and you're waking up 7 times during the night to go to the bathroom. So you are waking up an average of 1 time every hour.
Mm-hmm.
Then I ask the patient, how many times are you going to the bathroom during the rest of the day? And if they're saying, oh, look, I only go to the bathroom once or twice during the day, but I'm going 7 times during the night, then clearly you're going to the bathroom many more times per hour at night than you are during the day. That's often a sign of sleep apnea, frankly.
Oh.
It's amazing how many times patients will treat their sleep apnea, and one of the first things they will tell you, in addition to the fact that their headache goes away, is that, wow, you know, ever since I put this CPAP on, I don't wake up that much to go to the bathroom anymore. And the reason for that, it has a lot to do with our sympathetic nervous system. If we walk through the woods and we see a bear, or we see a snake, or God forbid we see a bear wielding a snake, you know, something really scary, all of a sudden our pulse rate goes up, our pupils get big, and we have the urge to urinate. Wow, that bear holding that snake really scared the urine out of me, or whatever the colloquialism you want to use is.
Sure.
So that feeling of nervousness, I used to always feel it before I would take a medical school test. They'd bring us in,
sure.
I'd go use the bathroom, I'd sit down in the auditorium, they say, you have 7 hours to complete this test, and if you fail it, you'll never be a doctor. Like, that was a lot of stress for a young Chris Winter at that point. So I would get nervous, and within 10 minutes, I would have to go to the bathroom. And I thought, well, that's so strange, because I just went, you know, 5 minutes ago. And so it's that stress connection with our urge, that urination reflex is very strong. So when people have sleep apnea, they're suffocating during the night. And when they suffocate, they're basically scaring themselves awake to catch their breath. And that can often be accompanied by the urge to urinate. So you treat that person's sleep apnea, and all of a sudden they'll tell you they don't have to urinate anymore. And this is important because a lot of people out there are taking medications unnecessarily for overactive bladder at night. Now, if the person says to me, I go to the bathroom once an hour, day or night, then yeah, that's probably more likely to be something outside of sleep.
Well, let's say that is a reality. The guy with the big prostate, the woman who has an overactive bladder, and it is that, you know, day or night, it's an hour, you know, once an hour. If that person is able to get up, do their job, and get right back to sleep, and they're cumulatively getting 7 hours, 7-8 hours, minus that, you know, whatever that interval is to use the bathroom, necessarily a problem, the interruption in sleep, or not?
I don't think so. I mean, the question I would ask that patient is, are you struggling with sleepiness during the day? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, I can read a book, a very boring book, in a very boring waiting room, waiting for a doctor who's an hour and 15 minutes behind, and be perfectly awake. And
hey,
I can
speak
stay
for
awake
yourself.
When I'm a passenger in a car. I can stay awake when I'm in church or watching you know, some TV show late at night. Then no, I don't think it's a problem at all. So to me, we're going to measure the success or the failure of our sleep by how we feel the next day, and really try to move away from, well, I woke up 5 times during the night and my neighbor only wakes up twice, therefore his sleep's better than mine. No, it's really about how you feel. It's okay to wake up and go to the bathroom. I rarely meet a professional athlete who doesn't, because they so aggressively hydrate their body that if we went after and tried to suppress their awakenings through, oh, here, take more pills, more pills, more alcohol, more whatever, because we really cannot have you waking up 2 times during the night to go to the bathroom, we would be creating many more problems than we're solving.
Well, that's Dr. Christopher Winter, and boy, it's been a great chat here. We're running late into our third segment
wow.
and beyond. And boy, we've taken so much of your time, but I do want to thank you because you've really, really helped bring a lot
something
to light
else.
Here. And hopefully we can spend a little time with you in the future because this topic is so big and wide, and you do it so well in
anytime.
Demystifying it. Again, the website is sevilleneuroandsleep.com, or you can read Dr. Winter on the HuffPo. And I would imagine it won't be long before he'll come out with that book. And
yes.
when he does, we will have him on the air right away. Hey, Dr. Chris,
thank you so much.
Really appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure.
Take care.
Thanks.
Boy, interesting stuff, huh?
Wow.
We'll come back and wrap up the show. Take your phone calls if you have any after this. The numbers are 465-7225.
And 1-800-748-7875.
I got seven women on my mind. Four that want to own me, two that want to stone me, one says she's a friend of mine. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
Knox County residents, who will you ask for when you're hospitalized or you're in your doctor's office and told you would benefit from home health? Knox County Health Department Home Health Agency is the only licensed home health agency physically located in Knox County. Our staff includes very qualified registered nurses, nurses' aides, and we contract with a stellar group of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. For more information about what the Health Department Home Health Agency can do for you, call us at 660-397-3396.
Here's something worth shouting.
From the hilltops to the rooftops,
you're a member of an electric cooperative.
That means you have a say.
A voice in how your co-op is run.
In what's best for the community.
Power to the people.
For the people.
From the people.
Doesn't that sound good?
Learn more about the power of your co-op membership
at togetherwesave.com.
Visit membersfirst.coop today.
This message from Missouri's Electric Cooperatives.
This hog catches everyone's eyes. From the, to the shine of the chrome.
Nice bike.
But I'd like to catch a few more eyes. Too often other motorists don't see us and the results can be deadly. Help out. Watch for motorcycles. Use extra caution when making a left-hand turn. Always use your turn signals and double-check those blind spots. And we riders will do our part by slowing down and wearing our helmets and reflective clothing. What do you say? Let's all safely share the road.
For more, visit SaveMoLives.com. Brought to you by the Missouri Coalition for Roadway Safety.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
left. You are not going to
believe
this.
Then what you're going to do is turn onto Marcy Avenue.
Just broke up.
And go past the first three
she's
lights
happy about
and then
it.
Take the next left.
I don't really
drive
think
five
she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but
and you should be
who
there.
Who am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right. That's
I'll
what
see you
I heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Today, my new dad threw a barbecue.
I burnt everything.
And then we played catch.
I broke Mr. Lewis's window. And then, somehow, my hand.
My hand! And then my dad even let me drive his car.
The hospital's on the right!
It was a rough day.
It was a great day.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When hunting or fishing this year, there are a few key things that people need to remember. First, purchase the appropriate permit and carry it on your person when afield. Second, when hunting or fishing with another person, always keep your wildlife or fish separate or distinctly identifiable from the others. This may be done with separate containers or it may be done by marking or labeling your wildlife. And remember, before you head outdoors this year, read the Wildlife Code of Missouri so you know the law. This has been Missouri Conservation Agent Gary Miller.
I've got you under my skin. And we're back, KMEM 100.5, and we've had a great session with Dr. Winter learning all about sleep, and today was a great session.
Yeah.
You just wait. I am so excited. Next week, we have Dan Butner,
yeah.
author of The Blue Zones. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that. He is my...
Well, he's one of the icons in wellness literature. Yeah, I mean, he was a National Geographic explorer guy.
Right.
And did this study on the seven areas of the world.
Of the world. That
from Loma Linda, California, right, to what, the island of Crete or somewhere off of Greece.
Sardinia,
Sardinia,
Italy.
That's right.
Sardinia, Okinawa, Italy. Japan. Nicoya, Costa Rica.
Okay.
Loma Linda, California.
Yeah. And these people have the highest concentration of
centenarians, right?
That's
right.
And so his latest book is just out, and it's called The Blue Zone Solution. Eating and Living Like the World's Healthiest People. Of course, his original book was just simply The Blue Zones. So I saw him speak at a recent conference, and I was just so wowed by him. He doesn't normally do engagements except in big radio markets.
Right.
I approached him. I said, would you please talk to our audience? Because they are so enlightened. They are on board. They are getting they are really getting jazzed with all this wellness stuff and learning how to do this. And he says, you give me a call and we'll do it. And by golly, he's going to be here.
Right.
So next week, make sure you tell all your friends, anyone who's interested in wellness, whether they're 10 or 90, it doesn't matter. These things are so helpful, so easy to do as well.
Right.
You know, we were talking, and I think you'll find that it resonates with what we were talking about earlier, about this mind diet.
The right thing to eat, correct.
Yeah. This mind diet that was found in the participants who recalled their dietary history, and then,
right,
of course, they were either did or didn't have or get dementia. And they found out that the Mediterranean diet, it was good. We know it's good,
right,
for heart attacks, for,
yes,
stroke, cardiovascular reduction. We know that the DASH diet with a low salt emphasis is good for heart and cardiovascular disease. But this MIND diet reduced, when they adhered to it strictly, 54% reduction in Alzheimer's risk. And even when they sort of veered off a little bit.
When they veered off, now wait a minute.
Still
when
a third
veered,
reduction.
When they veered off,
yeah,
the MIND did the best, but Mediterranean and
didn't
MIND.
Didn't do it.
Yeah. I thought Mediterranean MIND was...
Mediterranean DASH didn't have the same effect. The MIND diet has 15 dietary components. Let's go through some of those healthy groups.
Okay. Green leafy vegetables. Now, they're talking about green leafy vegetables with vitamin K. One thing about green leafies, they have vitamin K that actually stimulates the production of the sphingo. It's basically a fat... the sphingolipoids that actually helps cover the nerve endings.
Right.
So that makes sense for Alzheimer's. They just say other vegetables. They don't say what kind. And then nuts 2 to 3 times.
I know you're a big one on snacking on nuts. I mean, it's,
yes,
really a big component of your diet. You mix them in when we have spinach or,
yes,
broccoli or anything.
There's and you don't like them all the time, well, but yeah. I'm a nut. I know. I almost opened the place called the Nut House. But
berries.
Berries, yes.
And especially blueberries.
Blueberries. Yeah. Blueberries, again, have that highest auric value.
Mm-hmm.
Beans 2 to 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Whole grains. They really push it.
Whole grains. That's important.
3 times per day.
Not floury stuff.
Right. No,
not
floury. Now, they only say fish 1 time per week, mm-hmm, poultry 2 to 3 times, olive oil every day,
and
wine.
A glass of wine a day.
Right. But
the thing, 5 unhealthy groups?
The thing you've got to back off of, butter, one tablespoon a day, but cheese, fried food, red
pastries
meat,
and sweets.
Pastries,
yep,
and sweet, you know, make it a more of a monthly thing as opposed to. Yeah.
And you talk about feeling well and prospering, and I would really commend this MIND diet, the Mediterranean diet. Try to veer away from those processed foods.
Yes.
Because they just will drag you down.
Right.
And all the sugary
sodas. It's not all about weight
stuff
or anything. It truly is feeling really good when you eat really good.
Right.
Well, that's the big deal. And your mind obviously is working better.
Right. Right. No doubt about it. And the science is proving it. And
yes,
I think that whether you talk to the neurologist, the sleep scientist, the obstetrician, the internal medicine doctor, the pulmonologist, the kidney doctor,
right,
the psychiatrist, everyone is coming to that coalescent view that... trying to avoid the processed foods, the sugars, the sweets, important to do.
Right.
Hey, that'll wrap it up for this time. Don't miss next week's show with Dan Butner from Blue Zones. It's a fantastic read, and he'll be a great guest. I'm Dr. Randy Tober, along with Dr. Helene over there, and Elisa's on assignment. She'll be back next week. We're glad you were here. Thanks for being here. Remember this week, stay well, be well, share it with someone you love. See you next time on Healthy You.
Don't work out.
At work, home, or in your car, we are 100.5, the classic country station playing hit after hit of your favorites on America's Best Country, KMEM-FM, Memphis, Missouri.